It's usually at this time I tell you we're about to get our view from the north, except it's geographically the opposite. He's live on the scene of tonight's Sweet 16 with Oklahoma, Texas A&M, then Ducks Duke. Find his work for Comcast Sportsnet. Visit CSNNW.com. Talking ball. Become a Twitter follower. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. We welcome in Aaron Fentress. AF, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm glad to hear that. First of all, an experienced sports journalist and national event traveler like you, I see you post a picture of yourself and Bree in the Spokane rain waiting for an Uber because you missed the last media shuttle. I'm like, come on, man, that's a rookie mistake. What happened?
I know, dude. We forgot that the last one was at midnight. Canzano was out there right at midnight for the last one, texting us saying, this is the last one, you better come. But we never got the text, and then he left and told us, we're gone, dude. You got to get an Uber. But I was freaking out. But Bree was like, oh, Uber's easy. I've only done Uber once before. So Bree just fired up, and the guy showed up like in 4 minutes, and it was awesome.
Oh, no, Uber's great. I used it when I was back east. I mean, it's from when you fire up that app, you could have somebody there in 8 minutes. It's a beautiful thing. But
yeah,
I just want to give you a hard time. so you've covered a lot of awesome events. But from a Duck point of view, I mean, it's the Sweet 16. It's Duke, maybe the poster team for college basketball success the past 30 years. Coach K, Dookie V. How high up the scale does this one rate for just, you know, the magnitude of Oregon events you've covered?
Well, you know me, I'm never one to overhype anything.
Sure.
You know, I'm not one to come up with the greatest diss ever when it comes to the Ducks, except I do it like every month. But I would say that if Oregon wins today, this would be the biggest Ducks win since the 1939 national championship game. And I justify that by saying that the furthest the Ducks have gone in the tournament has been the Elite Eight. If they win today, they would be in the Elite Eight, so they'd be matching the furthest they've ever been. That was in 2002 and 2007. And they would be doing it against arguably the most successful program of the last 30 years. They won 5 national titles. You know, they're coached by the John Wooden of this era, so to speak, although you can make arguments for Dean Smith and other people, but definitely one of the top 3 to 5 coaches. And they're defending national champions. I mean, what more could you want for a Ducks victory? And to me, it's the equivalent of when Oregon, well, not quite the equivalent because it's not a play into the Final Four of the championship game, but it's close to when Oregon beat Florida State, which I still think in football is the biggest win in the history of the football program. You'd be a defending national champion. I was undefeated. I hadn't lost in 2 years. Had a Heisman winner. And I got you to the national title game. And it was a Rose Bowl, by the way.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the argument can be made that this is the biggest game in Ducks history all 80 years.
Yeah, like I said, 80, like you said, rational people try to avoid hyperbole, but every once in a while, you could say the biggest, the most substantial. So, yeah, I think we're on the same page there as we continue with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. Certainly, the conference has taken a bit of a gut punch.
Knocked around!
Man, aside from Utah won a game, Oregon's here, everybody else went Spinks against Tyson out and won. You know, you look at Oregon State and Cal had some injuries. USC, the late brain lock. I don't think this was a typical Arizona team. So overall, I mean, what do you make of the performance in the tournament as opposed to the whole season and like trying to evaluate the strength of the Pac-12?
Well, they had 7 teams seeded 8 or better, right?
Yeah, everybody.
Okay. And only 2 advanced to the second round, and that was your two highest seeds. Now, Cal did have some injuries. They had some bad luck.
Yep.
I think Cal at full strength beat Hawaii, so that's a little unfair. So let's take them out of the equation and just go with the 6, even still, only 2 advanced. And then Utah just got smashed by a mid-major. Yes, it's Gonzaga, but still, even if you lose that game, you're not supposed to lose by 25-plus or whatever it was. You're supposed to have a solid showing. That was just embarrassing. So, yeah, Oregon's carrying the torch for this conference right now. And at least Oregon, man, if Oregon had lost to St. Joe's, oh, my God. Would that have been for the conference to have everything that's gone on, and then also to have your one seed lose to an eight, mid-major, by the way. So, yeah, not pretty. And then you look at the ACC, they have 16 in the Sweet 16, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, clearly, ACC proves once again, it's a stronger conference. So, does that matter tonight? I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, Oregon's kind of fooled us a little bit by playing in the Pac-12, and Duke, yeah, they're 25-10, but they have two wins over number one seeds, North Carolina and Virginia. They come from the better conference. So maybe this will be one of those nights where at the end of the game we're like, yeah, the ACC is just better than the Pac-12.
Now, I see you got to obviously talk with the Duke guys. So whether it's been Coach K or Grayson Allen, they kind of compared Oregon to Miami. Overall, what did they have to say about some of the challenges they, the Dukies, are going to face in Oregon and maybe some of the areas they need to be sharp in order to win this one and move on to Saturday?
You know, they're saying the exact same thing everyone in the media is saying, that, you know, Oregon's a little bit deeper, rotating seven compared to Duke six, and that the seven Oregon rotates is just a versatile athletic group. I mean, really the only guy who doesn't play a second position or third position is Casey Benson. And, you know, Grayson Allen was marveling at Oregon's athleticism, and Coach K was just saying that, you know, that's a group out there when they put a bunch, you know, any five out there, that they can all step into whatever role fits them the best at that moment, and they can all do it well on the offensive end and the defensive end. Guys can shoot outside, they can take it to the basket. You got, you know, Coach K pointed out, you have a shot blocker who can also shoot threes really well, and Boucher, how that unusual that is. And so they feel like it's a challenge. And, you know, it's tough to compare game to game in a tournament. You know, we can say Oregon played poorly against St. Joe's. You can say that Duke survived against Yale. But when you look at what Yale did successfully against Duke, when they got down big, they started pressing, and they frustrated Duke, and they were able to get into the paint, outscoring 31-18. Something like that, and
yeah.
I think they had 18 offensive rebounds against Duke. So you just say, okay, well, Yale can do that. And as I said today on a video I shot with Bree Amaranthus, I said, you know, Yale might be smarter because it's Yale, but they're nowhere near as physically gifted as Oregon. You know, Oregon's got to be looking at the film going, man, we can press these guys better than Yale did. But then again, you know, Coach K, he's a certified genius. He probably looked at what they did in the press against Yale, and they probably fixed some things, so you never know. But I think Oregon gets after him with the press, attacks him in the middle, tries to get Mason Plumlee in the foul trouble, and then go from there.
All right. I got to get to one NFL question. I saw you tweeted it out when the news hit about the Browns signing Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
$3.5 million signing bonus, about $6.7 million guaranteed. Didn't play last year, but I think if you incorporate everything, you know, the salary cap's now up to $155 million. Is this really a bad risk? You think he could still play if healthy? Or
that's cheap, dude.
That's one of the things. Or do we just say, look, it's the Browns. Of course it's going to blow up in their faces.
Look, the bottom line is everyone keeps freaking out every time a team signs a quarterback. You know, like what's his face? Brock Osweiler. I got $18 million a year. I mean, are that people not paying attention? If someone says you're our starter and you have shown anything whatsoever of being a potential starter, your price tag is going to be between $10 and $20 million, period. Do people honestly think you're going to go out in the free agent market and sign a starting quarterback with any type of potential, whatever, for $4 or $5 million? Those are the guys you get who've been in the league for a bunch of years and clearly are just average, like the Hoyers and the McCowns and guys like that. So, you know, for them to get RG3 at that price, I thought was a bargain, because we don't know what he is. I can't believe – when you look at his stats from the last few years in Washington, he was not as deplorable as they made him out to be. It was just a bad fit with him and Gruden. And part of that's on RG3 for maybe he had some attitude problems and maybe he hasn't been willing to work as hard as he needs to work. But Gruden clearly didn't want him as a quarterback. It just didn't work out. But RG3 is legit, I think, and we'll find out. And I'm curious to see what happens with Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson, I thought, got totally screwed in Oakland. Remember a few years ago? He had a decent season with nothing. And then they just got rid of him. Like, they got a new GM, they got rid of him. And then where did he just come from? I blanked on where he just
Washington?
Was.
Cincinnati. Or
Cincinnati? Yeah, Cincinnati.
Yeah,
he did a good job
in
Cincinnati with Dalton, who's become a really good quarterback. He had 109 passer rating last year or something. So you got a guy who's had some success, who can coach offense, who hopefully will put RG3 in position to succeed. But then, man, it's Cleveland. Like, Cleveland's had such bad luck, but they're due, right? Aren't they due?
The Browns? So, yeah, it's like saying the Cubs are due.
Right. So get him a running game. Their defense was solid last year. I mean, with the hurting they put on Mariota. Get him a running game. Get him a couple good receivers, and then just let him grow into what maybe he could be. I think they got a good deal. I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, well, people, like I keep saying, they don't realize how much the salary cap is rising. I mean, when it first got implemented 20 years ago, it was $35 million. That's $155 million. All right. So I know with you, whether it's football or hoops, you've broken it all down. You've talked to both sides. Oregon's a 3-point favorite. Odds makers got the over-under at 156. You see this one playing out tight to the wire. Whoever makes plays late advances. Or do you see an edge either way?
You know, the best player on the court is going to be Ingram for Duke. He's going to keep him in it. Grayson's obviously pretty good. Grayson Allen. Coach K is Coach Gay. But I just see Ducks pulling out a relatively close game. It's either going to be close the whole way and then Ducks pull it out, or, you know, Duck takes a nice lead and it just sort of cruises from there. So I've got it 82-75 Oregon right now.
All right. Last shuttle leaves at midnight. Try and be on it.
I've learned my lesson.
Hey, always appreciate your time, AF. Enjoy it. And, hey, maybe you get to go to Houston.
I know. I'll find out on by Saturday night, I guess. Huh?
Awesome. All right. Hey,
all right, buddy.
Enjoy, Aaron.
Okay, bye.
All right, 284-8.